everyone. The message you've heard so far, and trust that God will continue to give help. I'm going to read a few verses in Luke chapter 23. Luke chapter 23. Luke chapter 23. And we'll begin reading in verse 20. It says, Pilate, therefore, willing to release Jesus, spake again to them. But they cried with a loud voice, Crucify him, crucify him. And he said unto them the third time, Why, what evil has he done? I have found no cause of death in him. I will therefore chastise him and let him go. And they were instant with loud voices, requiring that he might be crucified. Down to verse 32, and there were also two other malefactors, or thieves, or criminals, led with him to be put to death. And when they were come to the place which is called Calvary, there they crucified him. And the malefactors, or the criminals, one on the right hand and the other on the left. Then said Jesus, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Down to verse 39, and one of the criminals which were hanged railed on him, saying, If thou be Christ, save thyself and us. And it's noted in the two previous Gospels regarding the crucifixion that both of the criminals that were crucified with the Lord Jesus, up to a certain point, they were both mocking the Lord Jesus on the cross. But we read here in verse 40, there was one of the malefactors had a change of heart. But the other malefactor rebuked him, saying, Does not thou fear God, seeing thou art in the same condemnation? We indeed justly, for we receive the due reward of our deeds, but this man has done nothing amiss. And he said unto Jesus, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. And he said unto him, Verily, I say unto thee, today shalt thou be with me in paradise. And it's already been read, one of the verses I was going to read from Isaiah 53, but if you can just turn to it, or you can just follow, or you can just listen, I'm just going to read two verses from Isaiah 53. It's a beautiful verse, these two verses, where they all are. But in Isaiah 53, verses 4 and 5, it says, Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised, or as we've been hearing, he was crushed for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. If somebody could drink that simplicity of that truth of substitution for yourself tonight. I was wondering what to speak about, and it kind of got settled in my mind this morning when Michael gave out the hymn, When I Survey the Wondrous Cross. I thought, you can't go wrong if you read about the cross. And I remember several years ago, it's a lot of years ago now, listening to a message on the cross. And I still remember being there for that message, and I can honestly say I don't remember a word what the preacher said that night about the cross. But when he got up to speak, and he was known by many here, his name was David Oliver. He was speaking one night in the Charlottetown Hall, and it was a ministry meeting, and the subject that he took was the cross. And he had the whole ministry meeting. And, you know, sometimes when you have to listen to one person for 20 minutes, that can be bad enough. But to listen to one for an hour, I thought this might be a little bit long. Because, as D.L. Moody said, you usually lose people after 20 minutes. But I can remember when he was done, I thought he was just getting started. I was so absorbed in the message of the cross. And I won't be able to absorb you in the message of the cross tonight, but Just for a few minutes, I'd like to point you to the one who died upon the cross. And when the Lord Jesus was at Calvary, that day that the Lord Jesus was crucified, we read that there was two others. Sometimes we don't always mention the two that were crucified along with the Lord Jesus that day when he was put to death. And, you know, you might ask, well, why did the Lord Jesus have to go to the cross anyway? Well, you've been hearing how sin, already how sin entered into the world from Genesis chapter 3 and verse 15, how the serpent came into the world. But we can thank thee tonight that the head of the serpent was crushed or was bruised at the cross, because the Lord Jesus was able to overcome the penalty of sin. That's the whole purpose of the cross. It's not my fault and it's not your fault that we have to be saved. Sin entered into the world by man and the woman, Adam and Eve, but we are descendants and we fall under the condemnation of sin, every single one of us. And if we receive the due reward of our deeds, each and every one of us would be doomed to go to that place called hell, as you've been hearing already, to suffer eternally for our sins. We could never pay for them, but we would suffer eternally for our sins. But we can be so thankful tonight for the person of the man of Calvary, the one who came from heaven. Why did he come from heaven? Well, because of his love for sinners. There's no greater love. Two or three Sunday mornings ago, this is another thing that sometimes a person is timid or maybe a little nervous to get up to speak. But it's an encouragement when someone gets up to speak and you hear that, you know, you might have said it and you consider it to be weakness. You might consider that maybe you weren't, capable to get up. But I remember two or three Sunday mornings ago, our brother Mark got up and he was talking about the love of God and how sometimes we don't appreciate it the way we ought to. And really, we could never appreciate it the way we ought to. If we thought about the love of God 24/7, 365 days of the year, and even just to dwell constantly on the love of God, even the way that the love of God is spoken to us in nature. You know, seeing a picture there of David and Angela and the grandchildren underneath the colored leaves. Well, that's the beauty and the awesomeness of God and creation. You go out in the morning, in the early morning, and you hear the birds chirping. Well, you just listen to it. That's the display of the love of God in the singing of the birds. Sometimes we don't like the old crows calling, but when we listen to the chirping of the birds, it's the love of God. Everywhere we can consider the love of God. But if we were to spend our whole lifetime constantly dwelling on the love of God, we couldn't even touch the fringe of it, the extent to which God loved you and me. We can't understand it. One time, Billy Graham, he raised millions of dollars to bring 8,000 evangelists. They were called barefoot evangelists, from all over the world to the capital of Denmark in 1986, if my memory serves me right, I forget. But anyway, I think it was 1986. There was 8,000 that he paid for to come, that he might in some way maybe encourage them in how to be an evangelist. And of course, there was one man there, a barefoot evangelist, they called him. His name was Joseph. He was from a little town called Mazawi in Central Africa somewhere. And he had been saved from those from when he on his travels, traveling around into another village in Africa. And one of the heard the barefoot evangelist, one of them speaking, and he immediately trusted the Lord Jesus. And he really, really wanted to talk to Billy Graham. And so, of course, obviously not all 8,000 people could have an audience with Billy Graham, but there was some who were selected, and he happened to be one of them. And he told Billy Graham his story, how that he, when he got saved, he went right back to his village, and he thought everybody would be so thrilled to hear the message of the cross. What happened to him when he told the message of the cross? He was flogged. He was beaten with barbed wire. He was held down by the villagers, and the women would take the women of the village took barbed wire, and they literally scourged him with barbed wire, and he was left to die. So while he was, they left him to die, but he found a safe spot by a watering hole, and he healed somewhat. And he all the time he was thinking about that, he said, "Well, I must have said something wrong." And he rehearsed his testimony and what he had said. Well, he said, "I must have told it wrong." So after he got well enough, he went right back to the village, and he told again about the love of God and how they could know their sins forgiven because of the cross of Christ. And again, he was flogged with barbed wire. It happened the third time, and the third time he was being beaten and ripped with the barbed wire, the villagers began to cry. And they had a change of heart. And they allowed him, he had passed out, Joseph, and when he woke up, he was in his own bed and he was being taken care of by the villagers. They had a change of heart. And this time when he told them about the cross, the whole village, he said, believed in the message of the cross. And at that point, he raised his shirt, and Billy Graham seen all the scars on his front, all around his torso. And Billy Graham said, "I'm not even worthy to tie his shoes." And he asked to see me. Well, that's something like the cross. We're not worthy that we should ever have been loved by the Lord Jesus. We're so unworthy. We're not even worthy to tie his shoes or untie his shoes. But yet, he wanted an audience with us tonight. And he came to the cross, and he suffered, and he bled, and he died for you and for me on that cross. Why did he have to go? What was the purpose? Well, it was persecution because of who he was. You know that in this world today, Christians are the most persecuted people on the face of the earth. Why? Because they're associated with Jesus. And from 2011 to 2019, this number is astounding, but from 2011 to 2019, there's been 1.9 million Christians put to death because of their belief in Jesus. And that's not counting the last 9 years or 6 years since that, because of Jesus. Yet Jesus still came from heaven down to this earth to go to the cross, that we might someday have an audience with him. It's amazing. And you know, these two people, these two malefactors that were on the one on one side, the other on the and the other malefactor or criminal on the other side, like I was saying, they both mocked and taunted Jesus. And they said, "You know, if you're the Christ, come down and and save us." At first they were both crying the same thing. They just wanted to be saved from that immediate situation. They weren't repentant. They just wanted, if Jesus was who he said he was, well, save us. They were sorry they had gotten caught, that's all, and they wanted to be saved. But you know, as those hours went by, there was one malefactor And he must have been contemplating and running, mulling over these things in his mind. All the things that people were saying about him, and no doubt he had heard of him in earlier in his lifetime. And he truly had a change of mind. When the other criminal mocked him for that last time, this other criminal, he said, "Well, we're dying because we deserve to die. We're dying for our sins." And as he contemplated and looked at that man on the middle cross, he realized one thing. This man was not dying for his own sin. So why was he there? You know, I read that verse in Isaiah chapter 53. It says, "Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows." You know, the people of the day, the multitudes, even the Jews, they thought that Jesus was dying, that he must have somehow displeased God and was dying for his own sins. But you know, there were a handful, or I don't know how many, but there were people who recognized, no, that's not the case. This man was just. And he was on that cross dying for our sins. And tonight, that is the message of the gospel. You know, Donald Quigley, two or three Sundays ago, he mentioned, you know, how we see the cartoon sometimes, you know, the floating clouds and, you know, the maybe some patriarch standing behind the desk and then there's a door. You've seen probably the cartoons. And this is for illustration purposes only. This is not how it is. But let's take that illustration of the floating clouds and maybe Moses or Abraham. Let's say it's Moses standing behind the desk. And that criminal, when he asks the Lord Jesus that day to remember him when he comes into his kingdom, the Lord Jesus simply said, "Today you will be with me in paradise." And you know, it wasn't too long after, and he died. And where did he end up? He ended up, and this is just an illustration, but let's say he ended up standing in those clouds in front of Moses, and Moses asked him, "Why should you get into heaven?" You understand, that's settled now, but this is just for a picture. And the criminal would just be standing there, and he'd start thinking, "Oh, dear." And so maybe Moses was going to help him along. "Well, you know, have you been reconciled? Have you been justified? Have you been sanctified? Have you been redeemed?" And all those things. And you could just see that criminal standing there, you know, "What's going on? What's going on?" And then finally, maybe he said, "Well, you had to have repented, sir." And that jogged a little thing in his mind. He said, "Oh, yeah, I remember. There was a point when I was hanging on the cross that I recognized my need. I was the sinner. And I just simply looked to that man on the middle cross. And I recognized that he wasn't dying for his sin, but he was dying for my sin." Well, how do you know that's salvation? How do you know? Well, Jesus just simply said, "Today you'll see me in paradise." And that's how any of us know. Is there anybody that's saved here tonight that has anything more than that? I don't think so. If you have anything more, well, then I don't have it. All we have is the Word of God. The Lord Jesus said, if you accept that I died in your place, but he was wounded for my transgressions. That's what the thief believed that day. But he was wounded for my transgressions. He was bruised for my iniquities. And the chastisement of my peace was upon him. And with his stripes, we are healed. So when, going back to our little homely illustration, when the thief would have told the patriarch that day, "Yeah, all I did was I believed that Jesus died in my place. And all I had was his word that I would see him today." Well, by all means, enter heaven you can. And that's all we have. It's not, you don't have to be educated. You don't have to try to figure things out. I said all those big words. I don't even know really maybe what, you know, I've heard since, you know, messages and sanctification and justification. You don't need to know all those things. You just have to recognize that you're the guilty one and that the guiltless one died in your place. And I remember that cold January the night when I saw that Jesus died for me. Right away, I had doubts. Well, how do I know? Well, just if you have doubts, just read the Gospels, especially. Be not afraid, only believe. You'll read that verse. Well, one thing I know, that whereas once I was blind, now I see. God will give you the assurance that you need. All that you're responsible for is to take God at His word, knowing that He cannot lie, and you'll be saved and saved for eternity. And with that, we'll just pray and we'll sing a verse or two of a hymn. Our Father, we just bow now in the name of Thy Son. We give Thee thanks for the Lord Jesus. We thank Thee that He came. We thank Thee that He offers forgiveness for sin, for anyone who would just ask of Him. So we just pray that this might be the case tonight in Your name. Amen.